Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
LeBron and Anthony Davis both came up big for the Lakers last night. LeBron nearly had another triple-double and made key three-pointers to keep the Lakers ahead in the second half, while Anthony Davis had his own clutch three-pointer with under a minute left, followed by a big block on Jimmy Butler to ice the game. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us this morning. Chris, the game was good. I want to ask you, who was the most valuable Laker last night?
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
Look, I thought it was a true team win. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was good, and the rest of the others, Danny Green, Kyle Kuzma, playoff Rondo played really big. Markieff Morris, a lot of them, yeah. It was a true team win. Obviously, AD, 22-9, which is, you'll take it. It's not his usual numbers, but you'll take it from your second-best player. And then defensively, AD was outstanding with the four blocks. He guarded Jimmy Butler late. Obviously, as you said, Jen hit the big three. But let's not make this too complicated. Let's not play mental gymnastics and try to give it to somebody else. It clearly, definitively, undisputedly was LeBron James. LeBron James. And look, I know he wasn't himself necessarily in the first half with the five turnovers. I'm getting texts from people saying LeBron's tight. He's playing tight. He's not himself. I heard Mike Breen say he didn't look like himself. But I actually thought he looked composed. Because in the game three, I thought LeBron came out and forced the action. That's why he had so many turnovers. I thought he was forcing stuff that wasn't there. I thought this game he was composed. He took the three when it was there. He drove when he needed to. And those two deep threes he hit in the middle of the third quarter, when he also had a layup and a free throw, I believe, to go on a nine, score 9 points in 2 minutes. Those two threes, I thought, settled down his teammates and let them realize, okay, LeBron James is in the building. He's here. And he was great in the second half. The fourth quarter, he goes for 11 points, two assists. He accounted for 16 of the Lakers' 27 points in the fourth quarters. We know he's not a great foul shooter, but he goes 7-for-7 from the free throw line late. I mean, come on. It was LeBron. Period. The end.
The end. GOAT James. I thought he did a great job of trying to preserve himself. He's like, you know what? They can't
preserve
make it.
Preserve himself?
Yeah, he's preserving himself because he knows he's going to need this Herculean effort. Skip, look, there's some people that you go out and you try to destroy the field in the first half. And there's some people say, you know what? I got this kick. I can just sit back here long as I keep you in striking distance. And that's what he did. He kept them at bay. They weren't doing anything. Skip, that second half was dominant. Mm. But you know what, Chris? LeBron James has set the bar so high that now we're snickering at 28-12-8. That's what we're doing. He's averaging 28-11-9 for the play, for a finals, the NBA finals. That's what LeBron James is doing. And we're saying, man, he ain't had a game. He had a LeBron James. Let that sink in for just a second.
Agreed.
He's averaging 28-11-9. And people saying he's not playing that well, Skip. That's what he's done for you.
Who's saying that?
You!
Oh, only
because
me?
Because you say
I think a lot of people are saying that.
A lot of people out there mind, too. Now, Skip Bayless said, he said, I want him to, the fourth quarter. You know, Chris, you know Skip longer than I have. He always talk about the fourth quarter. What did he do in the fourth quarter, Shannon?
Yes.
11 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 7-7 from the free throw line. He run from late game. Skip, Chris, I've never seen a guy run from late game free throw like LeBron James, the FOGO. Did he run last night? Did he run last night?
Did they trail in the fourth quarter?
You know why?
No.
Guess why they didn't trail? He wouldn't let them. It was tied.
Did it come down to a last shot last night? No.
It was 83-83, and the LeBron James goes on a 7-0 run by himself. He said, I ain't going to let you get back in there, but it's over for you, Jimmy. Jimmy, I want to ask you a question, Jimmy. Are they in trouble now? Are they still in trouble? I need to know.
You finished?
Yep.
Gloating?
And Skip, look, The second half, LeBron, we know he had a game-high 12 rebounds. He had 9 in the second half. In the second half, it looked like he was getting every defensive rebound. I mean, it was stunning. Every rebound he was getting, and that's a part of defense. Remember that. Let's not belittle, AD guarded Jimmy Butler. He played the great defense. LeBron was guarding Bam a lot.
Bam.
But he was dominating the backboards. That's the last part of defense.
Give me that.
You guys both make me laugh out loud. Somebody has to be the voice of reason on this show.
It ain't you.
And I'm about to be that guy. All I know is that in plus minus, final box score, Anthony Davis was by far a game high plus 17 because that's how valuable he was last night. Far more valuable in the big picture than LeBron, who wound up a minus 2. That says it all to me. Plus 17 was so much better than even two other teammates. You had KCP at plus 8 and Rondo at plus 8. AD plus 17, LeBron way down at minus 2. That said it all to me. The first half said it all to me when LeBron, the whole postgame narrative was, he woke up from his nap and he texted everybody on group text, must win. And then LeBron said after the game, this is one of the biggest games of my career. I told you yesterday, I said it right here, this was a legacy game for LeBron James because you cannot give this Heat team any new life at 2-2. So I expected LeBron, I told you yesterday, I predicted he'd score 40. I thought he would come out in attack mode. No. I thought he'd play possessed in the first half, and he played possessed by demons. I'd never seen anything quite like it. I'm saying, LeBron, where are you? You look like the deer in headlights, LeBron, who shrank in games 4, 5, and 6 in the 2011 finals when the chosen one became the frozen one. I couldn't recognize this LeBron because he had 5 first-half turnovers, coming off 8 turnovers in game 3. What has happened to you, LeBron? You're lobbing passes to AD that go completely out of bounds. He looked shook up to me. He did look out of it to me. I'm sorry you guys say he was, Shannon's trying to make it, he was preserving his energy.
Feeling it out, yeah.
Oh, feeling it out like a boxer in a...
Buying time, that's what he did.
Really, okay. And he's playing against 3 rookies on the other team. They're playing high minutes, 3 rookies, and he's trying to feel it out like a big heavyweight fight. Mm-hmm. Oh, stop it. Mm-hmm. Both of you, stop it. And at halftime, I'm sure the Lakers are looking side-eyed at LeBron like, are you going to come to the party or not? Are we going to have to do this by ourselves?
Yeah.
And really, in the end, the Lakers MVP was a guy named Jimmy Butler because Jimmy Butler, he starts off the game like game 3, Jimmy Buckets. And what does he do? Right out of the box, he goes 5 for 5 in the first quarter and scores 11 points. And I'm thinking, life begins at 40 again. He might be going for 40. And what did Anthony Davis say to LeBron? We're asking LeBron to do so much. He said, I turned to him and said, I got him. I got him. Yep. Did LeBron take Jimmy buckets? No, AD did.
Yeah.
And AD's got guard feet. He can guard on the perimeter. And he took Jimmy Butler out of the game. Jimmy Butler went 0 for 2. He took only 2 shots in the second quarter. He went 0 for 5 in the third quarter. And after the first quarter, the rest of the way, the final 3 quarters, he went a grand total of 3 for 12 and scored 11 points in the last 3 quarters after 11 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
That was the game, period, end of story. He turned Jimmy Buckets back into Jimmy Butler, a near superstar who has superstar intangibles but doesn't always play as big as a superstar should. And last night, Jimmy Butler went passive-aggressive on AD. He would get a little bit of edge driving into the lane and then, uh-oh, I better pass it out to Tyler or to Duncan. And it's not good enough. It's Jimmy Buckets or bust for the Miami Heat, and they didn't have him the last 3 quarters. And in the end, that turned the tide in favor of LeBron and company. AD saved LeBron last night.
Don't do that, Skip.
Well, he did.
Don't do that.
Five turnovers?
Chris, you see?
Good.
Go ahead, Chris.
I said, Skip, if LeBron had gone for 28 points in the first half, played a really good third quarter, played well for most of the fourth quarter, and then struggled in the last 2 minutes, you'd be killing him. Now he's great in the second half. Okay. And he struggled, okay, a little bit in the first half.
Struggled a little bit flipping. With five turnovers? That's on pace for 10 for the game.
End of the game.
What are you talking about? You can't just sweep that under your carpet you have over there. You got a little LeBron carpet. Sweep all the bad stuff under the carpet.
I thought the fourth quarter was the most important aspect. He had 11. Mm-hmm. He had five rebounds. Mm-hmm. And so what are you, two assists?
All I know is that game swung on two threes, one that was missed and one was made. And Jimmy Buckets had a three from the corner wide open. Anthony just dared him to shoot it from the short corner, and he missed it pretty badly.
That was LeBron that dared him to shoot it.
What?
That was LeBron.
Okay.
And then because he got the rebound, and he pushes up to KCP. Yep.
Well, whoever. Nobody was guarding him, so I guess LeBron didn't opt to guard him. And he missed it badly, and they just push it right up to KCP, and he rips it from right in front of the Miami bench. That was the game because Jimmy Buckets was shooting for the lead.
Yeah.
With 3:05 left. And all of a sudden, KCP rips that one, and then they go down and get a shot clock violation, which was ridiculous. You can't win a game like that with a shot clock.
And then KCP turned the corner on Duncan Robinson.
And by the way, KCP's driving layup on Duncan Robinson. It came at the end of the clock when Jimmy Buckets did take LeBron and took the ball right out of his hands. LeBron gives it back to KCP. You do something with the hot potato, and he just drives it home.
Yeah.
And that put you up 7, and that was basically game, set, and series.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But Skip, I noticed what you did, Skip.
You saw that too.
When AD, when you thought it was AD against Jimmy Butler on the three, you said AD dared him to shoot. When you realized it was LeBron, you said LeBron opted not to guard him.
Really?
No.
LeBron doesn't guard three-point shooters. We know that.
Yeah.
We got to see Kyle Kuzma push him out to guard him.
Well, Butler's not a three-point shooter.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what was so amazing about his performance is that he got 40 on 20 shots and none of them were three-point shots.
Okay. I'm going to give LeBron these two props. To Chris's point, I thought the first three that he made with 8:18 left in the third quarter, which actually gave them a lead they never relinquished, that was huge. And I agree with you, Chris. It was psychologically huge for his team and maybe for the Heat, too, because LeBron joined the party. And then he made another one. He went 0-for-3 in the fourth quarter because he's missed all his threes in this series in the fourth quarter. That's okay. I'll give you that. But in the fourth quarter, I also give LeBron, he made all 7 of his free throws.
Yeah.
He's not prone to do that. That's
yes,
not his
very
history.
Prone.
It is not.
Very prone.
Oh, stop it.
But Skip, can we just, the bar is so high. And this is LeBron's fault. He set the bar this high. Mm-hmm. This is his opening height. You know, a lot of people get a height that they can clear. But LeBron James' height, his opening height is so high. Very few people have ever... We're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Mm. Very few people have ever been over a bar this high. Mm. So when he doesn't... Chris, are we really poo-pooing 28, 12, and 8? Is that what we're doing now, Chris? Is he that great that we're talking about a guy that's averaging 28, 11, and 9? Is that what we're saying he's having a bad series?
Mm.
Is that what we are now, Chris?
Well, nobody said he's having a bad
series. You did.
I do think, Shannon... We expect him to just do everything. I mean, honestly, we expect him to dominate, and I think he's playing more in the system. He is moving the ball a lot. Mm. He's not over-dribbling, you know, like he's done in the past, and I think we're not used to seeing it, but he's still being just as dominant.
Wait, do we expect him to have 14 turnovers in the last two games?
No.
Wow. You didn't put those in your stats.
He had 14 turnovers.
Okay.
But guess what he had? He had that dub. He didn't come to my restaurant. I just want to know one thing. Hey, Jimmy, are they still in trouble?
Mm.
Are they still in trouble?
No, they're still the team that was 75-1 to make to the finals before the
Whoa. Hold on. We didn't get no odds. Remember, most likely to make the finals, it was the Bucks and all the Nuggets, all the Sixers. Mm. We couldn't even get no odds.
Yep.
Now we there.
You're a beloved underdog. Way to go, Steve.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
The Lakers are just one game away from winning another title. Despite being down 3-1, Jimmy Butler said the Heat's confidence is going to stay high. Meanwhile, LeBron said after game 4 and after that win that the job is not done and he wouldn't sleep until the job is done. And Chris Broussard is still with us. So, Chris, will the Lakers end the series Friday night?
Shannon, congratulations. Your superstition won out. This won't go 6, as you said, knowing it would go 5. It's over. It is over. Skip, you covered enough NBA finals to know when a series was 3-1 and you knew who was going to win outside of, obviously, 2016 with Golden State and Cleveland, the worst thing in the world was for that team that's down to win the game 5 and you got to travel for the players and the media. You got to travel all the way across the country for a game 6 that you know is going to end the finals. Obviously, they're not traveling now, but I do think the Lakers certainly want to get out of the bubble. And I think the Heat, even though they're not going to give in, they're going to give it all they have. I think everybody's ready to get out of that bubble. So I do think this ends. Look. I know it's tough to close a team out, right? They always say that's the toughest game to win. But I actually think the big game was last night. That was the swing game. If Miami had won that game, now all of a sudden, not only is this a series, but Miami has all the momentum and maybe a little doubts creeping into the Lakers' minds. Obviously, the Lakers win. They have full command of the series. If they were going to get tight, it was going to be last night and we're just judging from what we saw with LeBron, but maybe you're right, Skip. If he was tight, it was the first half last night. That's over with. Nobody on the Lakers should be tight on Friday. They should just close this thing out, and I think they will.
I agree. I believe they'll close it out also. The thing is that in order for the Heat to win, Skip, Jimmy Butler's going to need to score probably somewhere between 115 points and 130 points over the next 3 games. He's going to have to basically have 3 historic games in order for them. And then Anthony, AD, and LeBron is not going to have to play up to their level that they're capable of.
That's
because
true.
If they play up to the level they're capable of, even if Jimmy has historic numbers,
yep,
they're going to lose this game. I believe they lose. I believe the Lakers close this thing out. And if they come out early, because the longer you stay around, they're going to keep fighting to the end. But if they come out and do like they did in game 1, and a few shots fall early, because KCP hit a couple of shots early. Danny Green didn't play a whole lot last night, didn't play his normal minutes. But I believe it's over also. I believe that LeBron and AD, Skip, 3 months in an aquarium is a long time. And that's basically what they've been living in. They've been living in an aquarium for 3 months. And it's like, you know what? We get an opportunity to go home. It's like, you know, hey, if you clean up the house, I'm going to let you go to the mall. Or I'll let you go out. Okay, win this game, and you can go home. Gone.
Gone. My turn. This series, this finals, was over before it started. It was an epic mismatch. That's what my friend Chris Broussard told us first day before when we were making our predictions. Epic mismatch. It took the all-time greatest finals triple-double in the history of the finals by Jimmy Butler, 40, 11, and 13 with no 3-point attempts. It took that for them to pull off what I still believe was the biggest single-game upset in the history of the NBA Finals in Game 3. It was Jimmy or bust. And it was all Jimmy all the time. I've never seen anything like it. But it took that for them to win one game. And it took whatever heart is left in them. I think that they gave it all last night. They left it all on the floor. They're just not good enough. One team has two superstars. The other team has no superstar. One team is veteran to the core with playoff Rondo and KCP and Markieff and
Danny Green.
Players White. Who've been there and yeah. done all this before. And the other team last night played high minutes. Three rookies. Do you realize Tyler Hero is the youngest player ever to play in the finals? He played 37 minutes last night. Duncan Robinson, a rookie, played 32 minutes last night. And would you believe that Kendrick Nunn, another rookie, a good one, but still a rookie, played 26 minutes and went 2-for-11 last night. And their offense kept degenerating into little Kendrick at 6'2", dribble, 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 left-handed, trying to take it inside against AD and getting his shot blocked. It was a joke to me. What are you doing? Well, it's just who they are. The Lakers' point guard, LeBron James, is bigger and stronger than the starting center for the Heat, Bam. I'm sorry, they're just too small. They're too short. They're in the end, not good enough. So the only competition left on Friday night is LeBron versus AD for MVP. And I think it'll be an epic battle. It'll be a shootout between those two, which is just more bad news for the Miami Heat. They will be bystanders. They will be set decoration for the epic MVP battle on Friday night.
I think we the MVP, I mean, the guy's averaging, he's averaging the most points.
Oh, you think it's over? I don't.
Chris, I mean, how does someone lose the MVP if his team wins? He's averaging more points, more rebounds, more assists. Am I missing something, Chris?
Right. Mm. And he's shooting 54% from the floor. Mm. Skip, I'll say this. If AD and LeBron do have that mentality of let me go out and show I'm the finals MVP, I think that plays into the Heat's hands.
No.
There may have been some of that at the beginning of game three. I don't know when LeBron came out and was doing trying to do too much, I thought. Because I think after the first two games, AD was the MVP. He was the finals MVP after the first two games. It was kind of like Denver early on in that series. He was MVP. But obviously, game three, he played poorly. LeBron wasn't great, but he was better than AD. And then last night, I think clearly LeBron was the better player. So I agree with Shannon. I think LeBron is in the lead firmly. And I think LeBron would have to fall flat on his face and play horribly, and AD would have to go for 40-something and 20 to win the MVP at this point, because I just think LeBron's got a safe lead
and
LeBron plays badly, he usually gives you 25.
You're desperate for it.
So I think LeBron's got it.
Stop
you
know, it.
You see what he tried to do?
I'm not trying to do anything.
No. Because at first, now he told me at the beginning of the year, Chris, that this would be LeBron James's toughest challenge to win a finals, to win a title, because he was in the Western Conference, because of Kawhi has snatched the rug out from under him. And so many teams. This was going to be his toughest.
Did you predict there was going to be a pandemic and he was going to get 5 months off to get ready for the playoffs?
I predicted Chris Broussard. Can you tell what I did predict? Who did I predict was going to win the title? I said, Chris, you sat right here. I said, Chris, I need you to come with me. I said, I got one more chair on this bus, this bandwagon, for you, Chris. I want you on it. I don't want anybody else. You say, nah, not. And even I tried to get you back on it. You came and said, okay, I'm going to go with the Lakers. And then you saw the Clippers. You let Paul George and Kawhi fool you. And you're like, I got to go. I said, Chris, don't do it. That's what a friend. I'm your conscience, Chris. I was on your shoulder. I said, Chris, don't do it. But you wouldn't listen.
Wait, did the Lakers beat the Clippers when it mattered?
Huh?
Did they have to beat the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals?
We beat them, Skip, in the play-in games. We beat the brakes off them. You remember LeBron James hit that shot and then D'd up Kawhi and D'd up Paul George at the end? You remember that?
I remember game one when LeBron and AD scored two total points in the fourth quarter. I remember Christmas Day when Pat Bev blocked LeBron's shot, his three to tie, and it went off his hands out of bounds.
Okay, we let you hang that banner. Yep. Opening night, you got a banner. You beat the Lakers. On Christmas, you got a banner. You beat the Lakers. But when it mattered, we going to drop a banner.
When it mattered, the Clippers weren't there.
In January, Jeannie Buss going to drop that. Yep.
and the NBA God said, let there be LeBron. Yep.
And you're going to do it again next year. No mercy.
Tomorrow, Thursday Night Football returns to Fox. Brady and the all-new Bucks look like the real deal. See me at Super Bowl 52 rival Nick Foles and the Bears on Fox NFL Network and streaming on Prime Video. Looking forward to that one. How about this one? Guys, LeBron and Anthony Davis have both put up impressive numbers through four games of the finals. Both are averaging over 25 points and 9 rebounds a game. While LeBron has the edge with 8.5 assists a game, AD has come up big defensively with a steal and nearly 2 blocks per game. So, Shannon, who is the MVP so far in the finals?
I believe if the voting was right now, Skip, it would be LeBron.
Did a Freudian slip.
I'm saying it's going to take a Herculean effort by AD. LeBron would have to be quiet the last game five. LeBron has scored at least 25 points in all four ball games. AD only had 15 in game three. And I just don't see it, Skip. A guy averages 28, 11, 8.5 on 54% shooting, and he's not the MVP. AD has been phenomenal. AD averaged 26, 9, and 2 on 60% shooting. But LeBron is first in scoring, first in rebounding. He's second in assists behind Jimmy Butler, but he leads the Lakers in all three categories. So for me, I just don't see a scenario unless AD has one of those monster games in which, and he's capable of, Skip, he's capable of going for 25 points and 15 to 20 rebounds, and LeBron has a 15.5 rebound game, something like that. I don't see a situation. And plus, the narrative, the story. Mm. Skip, you know you're 17. You know a guy winning a finals MVP for his third different team. You know the meaning it has. Sports are not always about wins and losses or the score. What's the story? Mm. What's the more compelling story to be told? Mm. And it was going to be in our documentary. Mm. We have a documentary 20 years now. Mm.
First player to win 3 for 3 different teams, 3 finals MVPs.
Isn't that a great story?
Hmm. So you're saying the, as Kevin Durant calls them, fanboy media.
There you go.
Fanboy media will vote LeBron MVP if he doesn't deserve it.
So you said he wouldn't deserve it. Is that what you're saying?
It is definitely up for grabs right now.
Okay.
And I will give you that LeBron is outscoring AD for the four games, 28 points to 26 points.
Okay.
But how can you sweep under your little LeBron rug over there? How can you sweep under your carpet 14 turnovers in the last two games? Those are eyesore turnovers. It's hard to overcome those in close games, but you're up against a team that is epically overmatched. So you're getting away with that because it's the Heat, 75-1 before the season started to even make it to the finals. And how do you overcome, how do you overlook the fact that in fourth quarters of the four games, LeBron is 0-for-9 from 3. In the last two games, he went 0-for-3, and then last night, 0-for-3 again. How do you overlook that? Is that MVP caliber
stats? He's 13 of 18 in the fourth quarter on twos. He's leading. He scored 34 fourth quarter points. So in other words, he's averaging a little over 8 points a game in the fourth quarter. Mm. Now, if you do that during the regular season, you're going to probably be top 5 at the bare minimum in fourth quarter scoring. Mm. He's doing this in an NBA Finals. So are you going to sweep that under your little rug? Mm. I didn't think you would, Skip. Mm. I didn't think you would.
How about this? From 3 through the first four games, LeBron is at 36%, but AD is at 55% from the three-point line.
Skip,
does that hurt the Heat? It's hard to defend that, man.
Skip, all of that. AD is shooting better from the free throw line.
Wait. Let's say how much better. LeBron, by his standards, is having a phenomenal free throw shooting finals. He's 72%. That's extraordinary for LeBron, not for anybody else, but for LeBron. AD has made all 17 of his finals free throws.
Yes.
He's 17 for 17. Mm-hmm. What?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, that really helps, right? That makes you MVP.
Yeah. AD is 17 for 17. Mm-hmm. He's better from the three-point line. But LeBron is still averaging more points. He's still averaging more rebounds. The assists, we understand that because LeBron is a point guard.
How about blocks? AD so far in four games has 7 to LeBron's 3. And LeBron's Mr. Chase Down, but he hasn't been pulling those off lately.
But AD has game 1 and game 4. He had 3 in game 1 and 4 in game and game 4.
AD has 4 steals so far. LeBron has 3. And AD plays center, you know, like he's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on, Skip. Mm. Now, but we need to be a nitpick. Now, nobody goes into the weeds and all that. Mm. You're trying to find a reason.
No.
Skip, you know what? You kind of like one of these people at the combine. You're looking for a reason not to draft the guy in the first round, as opposed to what your eyes tell you when you're watching the game.
No, I'm eye testing. I'm saying, wait a second. That guy, the little taller guy, is he number three? Is that what he wears? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That guy?
Yeah, he's going
not the third wheel. He's not the second wheel. He's the first wheel.
Skip.
Right?
I mean, I don't know how.
Okay. What's the plus minus for the series so far? AD is plus 24. That means when he's on the floor, they're winning by 24 points. LeBron is plus 11. So when he's on the floor, they're winning by 11. Last night, it was shockingly the other way around. What was the most important game of the series so far? It was last night's game. LeBron called it one of the biggest games of my career.
Okay.
The swing game, the tide turns one way or the other.
And what did the guy do in the swing game? What did the guy that's leading, what did LeBron do? Can you repeat his numbers?
Can we repeat what AD said that he did? He told LeBron, I got him.
Right.
I'll take Jimmy Butler.
And why did he tell LeBron, I got him? What did he say? Mm. Why did he tell LeBron, I got him? Because we ask him to do so much. LeBron drive the ball. LeBron get into the lane. Mm. LeBron facilitate the offense. Mm. LeBron get to the free throw line. And if I read his lips correctly last night, he said, hey, Bron, step to the line and make these free throws.
Mm.
And LeBron said, I got you, bro.
Mm.
I got you, bro.
Mm. So Jimmy Butler guards LeBron because he's two-way. He's going both ways. He's giving every last ounce, heart and soul. Mm-hmm. And LeBron is having to save himself just for offense.
Yeah. We've seen LeBron take Jamal Murray. We've seen LeBron be open to the task.
No, not this time. No. We're talking about finals MVP, not playoff MVP.
He's going to be fine. If they win this game on Friday, and LeBron James does what he's been doing, LeBron is going to be Finals MVP, and that's nothing to hang your head about.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with that. Anthony Davis, we could not have done this without AD.
Mm. So
he knows that.
Help me out here in the swing game of this NBA Finals, biggest game, one of the biggest games of LeBron's career. Anthony Davis was a plus 17, by far the best of any player on either team. That means when he was on the floor, Lakers won by 17 points.
Right.
LeBron, when he was on the floor last night, playing high minutes, they were a minus 2. They lost when LeBron was on the floor.
I've seen guys have scored 30 and be minus 8, minus 9. At the end of the day, the Lakers got the win. LeBron was phenomenal in what you call crunch time, money time.
Mm.
The fourth quarter with 11, 5, and 2.
Well, he made all of it. Crunch time. It wasn't a close game.
You know why it wasn't close? Because we made sure it didn't get close.
Mm.
Because we went on a scoring run all ourselves. You know, have you ever seen a 75, 35? No. We went on a 7-0 run.
Mm.
I got this. And while you said those guys were looking at LeBron's side eye, they knew deep down inside, we got LeBron, y'all don't.
Mm. And I saw LeBron eye testing. I saw him take, because he thought he had a hot hand. He was sort of heat checking in the fourth quarter. And he heat checked three threes, and they all LeBricked.
What about the other shots? What about the man ones he was getting? Dre Crowder. What about them free throws he was making, Skip? And Skip, at some point in time, look, I get it, and I know because you don't want me to have any more, like you said, accolades to add to my arsenal to build this fortress around the GOAT that you can't come chip away.
I don't want a phony accolade. I don't want a cheap one. I don't want undeserved.
I'm building this fortress around the GOAT statue that you and others can't chip away because I know you want to chip away at it.
Mm.
But I'm going to build this thing up so high that you can't get over it, and so deep down you can't dig up under, and it's going to be there forever.
So what amuses me is that come Friday night, you're actually going to have to root against one of your favorite players, Anthony Davis,
the baby goat.
You're going to have to root against him because if he goes bonkers on you, if he goes off and has a monster AD game, you are cooked.
I hope he does. Because I would rather have a win.
You would not.
I'm sure, Skip, yeah. Do I want it
both ways.
I do.
Yep.
But GOAT James right now is the MVP, and you know it.
Phony GOAT.
No mercy.
Tom Brady is 43 years old, but through 4 weeks, it might be hard to tell. Some worried that Brady wouldn't be able to hang in Bruce Arians' system that required quarterbacks to push the ball down the field. Well, so far this season, Brady leads the NFL in big time throws, according to Pro Football Focus. So, Shannon, how surprised are you that Brady seems to be thriving in Bruce Arians' offense?
First and foremost, this is not Bruce Arians' offense. This is Bruce Arians' offense that's morphed into Tom Brady's offense. Look at the Bruce Arians' offense does not throw the ball to the running backs and the tight end. Here's the targets in week one. Running backs and tight end was 15. Week two, 18. Week three, 21. Week four, 24. 50% of his throws this year have been to the running back and tight end. Fifth highest in the NFL. Last year was 36%. 21st in the NFL. Only Drew Brees has thrown more running balls to the running back than Tom Brady, who averages 10 targets per game. Oh, he's thriving. Okay. He's 20th in QBR behind Gardner Minshew, Phillip Rivers, Baker Mayfield, Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's 21st in attempts. He's 22nd in completion. The only reason these numbers look good is because he's throwing the ball so many times a game, 39 times a game. Big time throws. But what about when you give big time throws to the other team? Skip, stop this. This needs to stop. This is not Bruce Arians' offense. The big time throws, pushing the ball down the field. He's not pushing the ball down the field. Yes, completion percentage. Skip loves QBR. I noticed when Tom Brady's QBR, Tom Brady was number, Pro Football Focus ranked him last year number one, the first quarter poll, number one in QBR. They ain't mentioned QBR. They didn't mention completion percentage. They didn't mention yards per attempt. Now you got to try to find a way to prop him up. Big time throws. Well, what about those pick sixes? What about those INTs? Are they big time throws also? Skip, Tom Brady is playing well. But to try to put him up there is like, he's playing as well as Aaron Rodgers. He's playing well as Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. That's not true. It's okay. But this notion that he's having this historical season is not true based on the numbers.
Hmm. Interesting. You done?
I'm done.
Well, I'm about to unleash what Tom Brady has done so far. In Bruce Arians' offense is spectacular to the point it's flying completely under the radar, especially by you. He has so far 16 big-time down-the-field throws. That ranks easily number one in the National Football League. The last time he had 15-plus big-time throws in a season was back in 2011. This man is 43 years of age. Playing in a brand new offense and system with brand new play caller, coordinator, head coach who's an offensive guru, and advisor who's an offensive guru. It's all new and all different, and he's accomplished that at the quarter poll. Pro Football Focus grades him out as the third best quarterback in pro football through four games.
And anybody that watched him play know he's not better right now, Skip, than Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, or Patrick Mahomes. Mm. Everybody knows that, Skip. Mm. It's not even close.
So, Stephen Ruiz, who breaks down film for the win, writes about this and says, this is Arians' offense through and through. He had his doubts also. He breaks down all the tape. It's the same exact offense we saw Jameis Winston running in 2019, same we saw Carson Palmer run in Arizona, same offense that young Andrew Luck ran in Indianapolis. Arians has changed nothing, says Stephen Ruiz, Tom Brady. Has changed nothing, but he makes the point, to your point, the running back routes, the swing passes were always there for Jameis. Jameis just didn't take them.
The skip, because in this offense, you're not supposed to take it. Mm. What was it? What's Bruce Arians' famous term? What does he say, Skip? No what? No what?
No risk it, no biscuit.
Okay, the Carson
Palmer. He has the most big-time throws in the league. Skip. Nobody has more big-time throws. He vertical. He is throwing verticals like crazy.
Skip. Let me ask you a question. If you go back and look at Carson Palmer, if you go back and look at Big Ben, if you go back and look at Andrew Luck, how many times did they throw to the running backs? How many times did they throw to the tight ends? Mm. That's not Bruce Arians' offense. Bruce Arians' offense is bombs over Baghdad. Mm. Throw the ball over your head. Is that what he's doing? No. Mike Evans had 2 touchdowns, 2 catches for 2 yards against Denver.
Tom Brady's depth of throw through 4 games is almost equal to Jameis Winston, and he was bombs away last year. It's 11.4 average per attempt to 12.5 for Jameis. It's in the same ballpark.
He's 21st in yards per attempt.
He's not going to he's not going to turn the ball over like Jameis did. He's not going to take sacks like Jameis did.
What about the pick sixes? Mm-hmm. He looked like Jameis.
He threw two pick sixes.
And four, and
both to Justin Watson, who's a brand new receiver, and I don't love him. And I don't think Tom should be throwing out routes to Jameis Winston. Okay. But speaking of out routes, there are things called deep curls that are the equivalent to me of out routes. And if we could see one he threw this past Sunday against the Chargers, this is in the third quarter while they're making their frantic comeback. He throws this from the opposite hash all the way across the field to Mike Evans. And it's a deep curl. It's not to the, all the way to the sideline. But tell me you don't see this same old Tom Brady arm strength on that. I'm sorry. What arm strength is he? I told you, I see no loss, no decline of arm strength. He's throwing that from the near hash to the far sideline. I'm sorry. That is outside the numbers. And we don't have time. I could show you a dozen of those where he did complete it. And I'm saying, what are you talking about? It's all inside the numbers. And he's throwing. I showed you. I told you. I raved about little Scotty Miller in the offseason. You laughed at me. And now he's become one of his favorite targets. Yeah. And as they made their desperate comeback from 24 to 7 down, the drive that put them over the top that got them back in the lead is to Scotty Miller. There's a bomb to Scotty Miller. Is that arm strength? Is that accuracy? And then he comes right back and hits him right over the middle for a touchdown from 30 yards. I don't know. It's like he's doing everything he used to do in New England. He looks like the same guy to me at age 43.
He looked like the guy that last year was 20th. It was 19th in QBR. He's 20th this year. Yeah. He looks like a guy that was 21st in completion percentage.
Yeah.
He's 22nd this year. Mm. He's 21st in yards per attempt. He was 20th last year. Mm. So what has changed?
Stephen Ruiz concludes in his piece, Brady's brilliance is what made that system work in New England, and it's having the same effect in Tampa.
Yeah, but I mean,
it just is.
Cam got the system was going good, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, Skip. This is not, look, I'm not saying Brady is not playing well, but to say Brady is running Bruce Arians' offense as it was intended to be run is disingenuous.
Okay, but the routes are all Arians' routes. Yeah,
everybody runs the same routes. They might call them different things and put the emphasis, the stress on where the ball needs to go. Mm-hmm. In New Orleans' offense, everybody's running the running back on the curl, the rim route, and the arrow or the angle. Mm-hmm. But some teams emphasize throwing it to the running back, throwing it to the tight ends more than others.
Some quarterbacks do.
So Tom Brady is throwing up Skip. What we've seen is a gradual progression from 15 balls to the tight ends and running back in week one to here we are 24 in week four.
Mm.
So that's not Bruce Arians' offense.
Has he had Gronk? Not much.
No.
Mm.
Bruce Arians' offense said, I don't throw the ball. But Cameron, how many, he threw a touchdown to Cameron Brake. Mm-hmm. O.J. Howard, before he suffered his season-ending injury, had a couple of touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So for me, Skip, all I'm saying is that to say that this is Bruce Arians' offense in its purity is not true. Tom Brady, it might be calling Bruce's terms, but his emphasis is throwing the ball to the running backs and to the tight ends, not pushing the ball down the field, getting those big chunk plays. You believe, you said Tom Brady's going to average what? 5,000 yards. He ain't getting no 5,000 yards. Never happened.
Well, you said that he's going to be throwing a little underneath option routes to the slot receiver.
24.
Really? Huh.
Tight end, running back. Look at my guy. Look at my guy, old A-Rod.
Who's the slot receiver?
Look at my guy, A-Rod. Look at old guy, A-Rod, what he doing? Russ. And Russ, we trust.
Yep. Aaron Rodgers has been to one Super Bowl 10 years ago.
No, we're not doing that.
My guy is 6 out of 9, and I think he's got a real shot at getting to another one.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who's playing the better of the position right now?
Mm. Well, one guy's starting fresh with coming out of a pandemic with no preseason games and very little offseason work.
My guy's coming out of a pandemic, and they wanted to get rid of him.
Yep, they did.
Okay, then.
And they may still want to.
If you want to get rid of a guy with 11 touchdowns and no picks?
This guy's 43 years of age. You got to give it up to him.
I'm giving it up to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Huh.
Skip, why you don't want to just, you saw that Monday night. You saw it. You've been seeing. He did you a favor. He went to New Orleans and did something for you. Mm. And you don't want to give him credit for that?
Did you see what the Chargers defense did to Patrick Mahomes? Do you realize it was 17-9 Chargers going into the fourth quarter? That's what they did to him.
17-9. And guess what they did? They had you down 24-7.
Yep, and here he came.
And here he came.
Yeah.
And my guy, you know, my guy hadn't thrown an interception yet.
Who had the better game against the Chargers defense, Brady or Mahomes? Help me out.
My guy, hold up. My guy was on the road.
Mm.
Your guy was at home.
Okay. Yeah, in front of 14 fans.
No. Y'all had like 12,000.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you have. It's Florida.
Yeah.
They don't get them Florida. Mm-hmm. Look at Jerry World. They had 25,000.
Now they have 25,000, but they don't care.
Exactly.
Okay.
But they have a little more space to separate.
Your day coming.
Hopefully. Well, hey, my day might be coming Thursday night because his receivers are decimated now.
Oh, Nicky Foles.
Huh?
Oh, Nicky Foles.
No, but Brady's not going to have
Nicky Foles.
Godwin may not have Mike Evans.
Man, Mike Evans be out there limping and be limping down the field for 100 yards. He need to stop. Ain't nothing wrong with Mike Evans.
Okay. No mercy.